Live from NPR News, I'm Janine Herbst. Fire crews from other states are heading to Montana, where five firefighters were injured as they worked the Devil's Creek blaze near the town of Jordan. That fire has burned more than 1,300 acres. There are more than 80 fires burning in the West as conditions for more extreme heat and dry weather continue. NPR's Amy Held reports firefighters in southern Oregon are making headway on the biggest wildfire burning in the U.S.
The Bootleg fire is now more than 40% contained. After weeks of hot, dry, and gusty conditions spurred it to more than 400,000 acres. In Montana, wind-driven flames hurt several firefighters working the Devil's Creek fire, and crews are coming in from Utah and California to help. South of Lake Tahoe, some 2,500 homes have been evacuated, and hundreds of firefighters are battling the Tamarack fire.
We understand the sacrifices being made by all for those who have been displaced and for the people who are on the line here away from their families.
Matt Zumstein is district ranger of the Humboldt Toyabe National Forest.
We're only at the beginning. It's a marathon. It's not a race.
Heat waves and drought are becoming more regular in the warming climate. Amy Held, NPR News.
The U.S. women's soccer team beat New Zealand today at the Tokyo Olympics. As NPR's Kat Lonsdorf reports, it was a much-needed win.
The U.S. women's team owned the game with a final score of 6-1. And the team could have been more dominant. The U.S. had several goals ruled out on offside calls in the first half. The win came after a crushing loss to Sweden earlier in the week. As is the somewhat eerie theme at these Olympics, the game was played to a nearly empty stadium. All spectators have been banned due to the pandemic. But there was at least one fan cheering for Team USA, First Lady Jill Biden. The U.S. came into these games hoping to become the first women's team ever to take Olympic gold after winning the World Cup, which they did in 2019. This win makes that goal still possible. The team heads next to the coastal city of Kashima to take on Australia. Kat Lonsdorf, NPR News.
Parts of central China remain underwater after record-setting rainfalls last week. Authorities say at least 58 people were killed by flooding, but the death toll is expected to rise. NPR's Emily Fang has more.
On Tuesday, storms hit Zhengzhou, a city of 12 million, flooding roads and the city's subway. The storms then moved north, pouring more water on the city of Xinjiang. Residents in the north half of Xinjiang remain largely trapped. Water levels there are still about hip height in many places. Bulldozers carrying supplies and rescue personnel are now being diverted there.
NPR's Emily Fang reporting. Meanwhile, officials in western China have canceled airline flights and cargo ships have been ordered to leave the region as Typhoon Inpha heads to the mainland. You're listening to NPR News. In Chicago tomorrow, people will mark what would have been the 80th birthday of a black child who was lynched in Mississippi nearly seven decades ago. Linda Lutton from member station WBEZ has more.
14-year-old Emmett Till was lynched in Mississippi in 1955 while visiting family there. His mother decided to hold an open casket funeral, putting the brutality of racism on display. The Southside Chicago home where Till lived will see a bronze plaque installed. Naomi Davis is with the nonprofit Blacks in Green, which fought to get the house landmarked.
A lot of folks have never heard of Emmett Till. A lot of folks don't know that his murder sparked the civil rights movement.
Elected officials and activists are also visiting Till's gravesite. Congressman Bobby Rush wants to commemorate Till's mother, Mamie Till Mobley, with a postage stamp. For NPR News, I'm Linda Lutton in Chicago.
Two companies that want to build thousands of miles of pipeline across the Midwest say the project will help rather than hinder efforts to combat climate change. The pipelines would stretch from North Dakota to Illinois, capturing carbon dioxide at ethanol refineries and transporting it to sites where it could be buried thousands of feet underground. Some critics, though, do remain skeptical, and that is raising the chances that the pipeline could become another pitched battle between the energy companies and the environmentalists. I'm Janine Herbst, and you're listening to NPR News.